In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This second Sunday of Easter, or as it might be casually known, Doubting Thomas Sunday, will be a day in which many preachers attempt the noble task of rescuing poor Tom from his unfortunate moniker. Certainly this is a worthy mission. Thomas, the disciple who was ready to go with the Lord to his death when the other disciples were afraid of being stoned by the Jewish authorities in John 14. Thomas, the disciple who was not afraid to ask the questions the other disciples could not ask in John 11. And Thomas, who faithfully remained with the apostolic community even after Christ's crucifixion here in John 20. It is unfortunate, in the very least, that his faithful discipleship is eclipsed in our collective memory somewhat by this passage here in John. But I don't want to spend all of today's time on rehabilitating our view of St. Thomas. Instead, I don't think I'd be extrapolating too much from my own experience when I say that Thomas' questions and desire for some form of tangible confirmation of his faith feels all too familiar for people of faith in the 21st century. Whereas many moments of conversion or revelation in the New Testament feel sudden, a rapid shift of understanding in which faith crystallizes in a single instant, I have a suspicion that many of us here would instead describe our process of coming to belief as one which was much more gradual. As I think about this, I'm struck by how John talks about belief here in the Gospel, and how the author of 1 John is so adamant that this faith is indeed grounded in something which is concrete. We declare to you what we have heard, what we have seen, what we have looked at, and what we have touched. So too, John ends his gospel with the story of Thomas by stating the express purpose of the text, that you and I might come to believe, or in a turn of phrase from other manuscripts of the gospel, may continue to believe. Continue to believe. Jesus phrases it this way when he says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Jesus is describing us here today in this phrase, and I can't shake the sense of ongoing motion as he talks about belief. If I'm honest, I cannot describe my own faith, my own relationship with Christ, as a line, beginning with unbelief, interrupted somewhere in the middle by an encounter with Christ, and ending conclusively with a conviction grounded in bedrock. Instead, my experience of faith feels much more cyclical. It ebbs and flows with occurrences and events in my life, and I find myself with a perpetual need of encountering Christ on a daily basis. I myself have been the Thomas of emphatic doubt. Unless I put my hand in his side, I will not believe. And I have also been the Thomas overwhelmed by unspeakable grace, my Lord and my God. Sometimes I am both simultaneously. While many of us have experienced singular or particular moments in which we feel our hearts or our minds changing in relationship to God and Christ, I have seen a great deal of spiritual harm done by the insistence that from that moment onward, we must maintain an unwavering faith. We must be the Thomas who met Jesus and proclaims it boldly. Instead, as I said earlier, I believe we are in perpetual need of seeking and discovering Jesus. Because sometimes his presence in our life appears unfamiliar or obscured, like to Mary in the garden as the gardener. While other times we see Christ among us very clearly, very distinctly, like his encounter with Thomas or the disciples on the seashore when Christ cooks them breakfast. I think in these moments of obscured or unfamiliar relationship to Christ, of seeing him in our life, that it's good to remember that God can handle our expressions of fear or doubt. It is honest and indeed fair to express your frustration when God seems distant in your life or your spiritual walk. Indeed, to continue to believe requires us to actively look for Jesus in new and unexpected ways in our life, and requires a measure of unsatisfaction until we find him there. Would that we challenge God to be more tangibly present in our daily lives more often. Yasutani Roshi, in his Lectures on Zen Buddhism for Westerners, describes three pillars of Zen practice: strong faith, strong doubt, and strong practice. In describing the relationship between this strong faith and this strong doubt, he says, "This doubt inevitably springs from strong faith. It is a doubt as to why we and the world should appear so imperfect, so full of strife and suffering, when in fact our deep faith, a deep certainty, tells us that the opposite is true. It is though we knew perfectly well that we were millionaires, and yet found ourselves in dire need, without a penny to our name. We proclaim this Easter the eternal truth that Christ is risen and has defeated death, and yet we exist in a world still marked by suffering and pain. We proclaim this Easter the defeat of sin, and yet each of us know how frail we can be and how numerous our shortcomings have been. Our insistence then, like Thomas, for a certainty of that which our heart tells us is capital T true, is an essential component in growing, continuing in our belief. To phrase it another way, I have often thought of faith as the residue left over between the prolonged friction between grief and hope. This is the strong practice that Yasutani speaks of, remaining in a place of tension, of hopeful search, until we find that concrete proof, until we encounter Jesus. And the key to remaining in this place is found here, within the community entrusted with the hope of Christ's resurrection, the church. Indeed, one could say that Thomas experienced a delay in his encounter with the risen Jesus because he was not initially present with the other disciples. This is, of course, not to say that Christ is only present within the confines of a church building or a parish congregation. But instead, it is the knowledge that in order to continue in our belief, to continue in hope for what we know to be true in our hearts, we must do it communally. We must do it together. We do not seek Jesus alone in this collective endeavor, but as a spiritual family, a body which together holds and nurtures the hope of Christ's presence among us. To one another, we serve as reminders of Christ's presence. We encourage one another when we continue to seek in spite of our doubt, and we support each other when the truth of Christ's presence in our lives feels distant or dim. This Easter, know that you do not rejoice or serve or seek alone. We believe, we continue to believe, and we will come to the fullness of our belief together as Christ's body. May God grant us perseverance in this journey. Amen.